All right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, May 11th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Wednesday, everyone. It is a sunny and warm 58 degrees and beautiful here in upstate New York. I hope it stays this way. Might actually sit out and get myself a little bit of vitamin D for about 20 minutes after the show today. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show, Bacteria Alters Microbiome and DNA Causes Mental and Physical Disease. And that is pretty much what we discovered digging into some of what we'd been reading. But then we also listened to an awesome interview with Dr. Mercola interviewing Dr. David Perlmutter. He's a neurosurgeon, I believe, or neurologist, one or the other. He's a brain doctor, plain and simple. And he discovered long ago that the brain is affected by more than just the brain or external influences. It appears to have a direct connect, and we've read about this. They had suspected this for a pretty long time, but now they're pretty certain of it is. They are increasing their understanding of genetics, their understanding of the brain-gut axis, the vagus nerve, and our five bacterial cultures that we carry in our body and how they interact. So basically, the end result of it was we got to make sure that we take care of our bodies, and it's not just the food that we eat or that we ingest or stuff that we put into our mouths that affect the microbiota that grow there, that then, as a consequence, affects our health potentially, but it's also our sleep patterns and our circadian rhythms and whether or not we get exercise and clean out those stagnant water wells that live in your cells. And they found that especially fruits and vegetables seem to have the most beneficial bacteria, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, everything we've always been told, eat your vegetables, go take a walk, Johnny, go play outside, you know, stay healthy, has always meant something very different to me. Stay healthy now after doing the last 2 days of digging deeply into this means something totally different to me. I need to make sure that I take my micro, probiotics on a daily basis and feed those little bacteria. Don't take antibiotics unless you are dying is the other thing that we discovered, because it wipes out entire colonies. Don't give them to a baby under two. We heard Monday, there was a lecture we were listening to from a TED Talk. It was talking about how badly it decimates those bacterial cultures if you give them to a child before those cultures have matured. So we're going to continue on now and take a look at a little bit more, because there have been corporations out there have decided, sprinkle funding out of the university, we're going to spin out a new company and make bazillions of dollars. I think before we do that, though, we're going to read the story we didn't get to at the end of the show or at part of the show yesterday. And we'll just, for a catch-up for anyone who missed the last 2 days, we'll get you back up to speed. When gut bacteria changes brain function. This is out of The Atlantic. By now, the idea that the gut bacteria affects a person's health is not revolutionary. It's like what I said. But many people know that these gut microbes influence your digestions, your allergies, and your metabolism. And the trend has become almost commonplace. New books appear regularly detailing precisely which diet will lead to optimal bacterial health. But these microbes may extend much further into the human brains, and a group of researchers around the world are now investigating how the microbiome, as this bacterial ecosystem is known, regulates how people think and feel. And that's where we're going to spend some time today, is looking at the mental health aspect of this and how easily it might be able to be manipulated. Scientists have found evidence that this assemblage of the ecosystem of microbiota are about 1,000 different species of bacteria, trillions of cells that together weigh between 1 and 3 pounds on our body, and they could also play a crucial role in autism, anxiety, depression, and other disorders. There's been an explosion of interest in these connections between the microbiome and the brain, says Irman Mayer, a gastroenterologist at the University of California, Los Angeles, who has been studying the topic for the last 5 years. And some of the most intriguing work has been done on autism for decades. And, you know, we've seen quite a number of stories out there, maybe not in the mainstream, but I know I've seen them through the feed for alternative news. There have been quite a number of people who have found success in treating autism with diet. And I remember when I first read about that, my first thought was leaky gut. And we heard yesterday that leaky gut is tied to all of this. This is when our bacteria aren't working properly. You start to get a leaky gut because things aren't being digested properly. And when things aren't being digested properly and they pass that barrier, that gastrointestinal barrier into the bloodstream, it causes your body to freak out. It causes your immune system to freak out. It causes immune diseases and other things that we may not know about. And the fact that proper nutrition and fixing that microbiome shows an improvement in autism leads me to believe that autism is definitely caused by the same mechanisms. For decades, doctors, parents, researchers have also noted that 3/4 of people with autism have gastrointestinal abnormality like digestive issues, food allergies, or gluten sensitivity. And this recognition led scientists to examine the potential connection between gut microbes and autism. Several recent studies found that autistic people's microbiome differs significantly from control groups. I'm going to stop for a second because we also found out in the TED Talk we listened on Monday that children that are born C-section versus natural don't end up with the vaginal bacteria that every one of us have who were born natural childbirth. And right now that's something that they're still looking at as to how that is going to affect people as they age. You know, how does that affect those 5 colonies if you don't have one? Now 4 colonies are going to rule. Will you ever get that 5th colony? What does it mean? I don't know. But maybe something similar, maybe not C-section versus natural, but maybe something similar. Maybe the parents, maybe the mother had the flu. Maybe, you know, who knows? But it's very interesting that something as small as a bacterial culture could potentially affect your entire makeup and how your body functions. California Institute of Technology microbiologist Sarsky Mazmanian has focused on a common species called Bacteroides fragilis, which is seen in smaller quantities in children with autism. And, you know, we found out, too, that there were 2 bacteria types that if people had them in their mouths, there was a good chance that they were going to get or already had pancreatic cancer. I mean, this isn't, you know, mumbo jumbo anymore. They're starting to see some real connections between this unseen world and how our body functions. And like I said yesterday, as we're spraying glyphosate, which is a potent antibiotic, all over planet Earth, and the trees are dying and the animals are dying and we got rampant disease running and we're going, oh no, what's happening? Gee, maybe it has something to do with the fact that we're killing all the bacteria in the soil. The earth needs bacteria as much as our body does. Anyway, the treatment, in a paper published 2 years ago in the journal Cell, Mazmanian and several colleagues fed B. fragilis from humans to mice with symptoms similar to autism. The treatment altered the makeup of the animal's microbiome and, more importantly, improved their behavior. They became less anxious, communicated more with other mice, and showed less repetitive behavior. Now, remember, we had done a story about the personality transplant, behavioral transplant. And they did that in our story by doing a fecal transplant between mice. But they had shown that you could take a mouse who has the key characteristics from their microbiota in their intestine for being timid, put it into a mouse who is courageous and vice versa, and change the personalities. Well, now they found using that B. fragilis from humans and putting it into mice with symptoms similar to autism, they got an improvement as well. Exactly how the microbes interact with the illness, whether it is as a trigger or as a shield, remains mostly a mystery still. But Masmanian and his colleagues have identified one possible link, a chemical called 4-ethylphenylsulfate, or 4-EPS, which seems to be produced by gut bacteria. They have found that mice with symptoms of autism have blood levels of 4-EPS more than 40 times higher than other mice. And the link between 4-EPS and the brain isn't clear, but when the animals were injected with the compound, they developed autism-like symptoms. And we also found out yesterday, listening to that interview with Dr. Perlmutter, he had talked about the inflammatory chemical. Anybody who has any of these diseases, and we're not just talking one type of disease. I mean, he was going through like cancer and diabetes and schizophrenia and dementia and all these different things he was listing off, and they all have this one chemical called LPS. It was a lipase, and it is the root of inflammation in the body. He believes improper microbiota balance causes this chain reaction that then causes this LPS to be produced in the bloodstream that then causes inflammation in the body that then allows disease. It was pretty simple. So now they're finding this 4-EPS, this ethylphenyl sulfate in the blood seems to cause autism-like symptoms in those that have it flowing in their blood. Masmanian, who in 2012 was awarded a MacArthur grant for his microbiome work, says that he sees a potential breakthrough in understanding how microbiomes contribute to autism and other neurodevelopmental disorders. He says the results so far suggest that adjusting gut bacteria could be a viable treatment for the disease, at least in some patients, and we may be able to reverse these ailments. He said, you know, Dr. Perlmutter, too, had talked about a case where he had 20 people that he did fecal transplants on. And I mean, the one guy was completely, totally, I don't know if he was paralyzed, but he had some sort of neurological disorder where he couldn't walk and used two canes. And I don't know if he was on a walker or not, but after his treatment, he was fine. It's just messed up. I mean, I really want to see this technology and stem cell technology that they can make any cells out of the body from your own skin cells be like two technologies that really take over medicine. We don't want Ray Kurzweil's transhumanist future of putting nanobots in your blood. I know that isn't what my future hope is. Give yourself over to Google? Google in your bloodstream? I don't think so. But I most certainly would give myself up to the bacteria from Mother Earth. Let them take care of it. You know, I just think that we've done more damage than we know trying to be clean and ingesting all the stuff we found out. The 10-day McDonald's diet, right, wiped clean your gut bacteria and overprescription of antibiotics. I'll tell you right now, I was one of the victims of that all throughout my teenage and college years and even beyond that. I've taken a lot of antibiotics in my day. And, you know, I had this whole disorder, this whole cascade of disorders that happened over the last 20 years. And it was progressive. But I really think that this is the key. Overall, both of these microbes seem to be a major player in the gut-brain axis. And John Cryan, a neuroscientist at the University College of Cork in Ireland has examined the effects of both of them on depression in animals. Scientists have gathered evidence that gut bacteria can influence anxiety and depression. Stephen Collins, a gastroenterology researcher at McMaster University in Hamilton, Ontario, found that two strains of bacteria, the lactobacillus and the bifidobacterium, reduces anxiety-like behavior in mice. And you know, in mice super greens, that's what I have in there. That typically is anytime you get something with a supplement that has beneficial bacteria, gut bacteria in it, you'll typically see the lactobacillus and the bifidobacterium. But I didn't know that they reduced anxiety. Maybe I should double. No, I don't get anxiety, but I really hate just having all kinds of stuff always hanging over my head that's got to be done every minute of every day. There's never a break, so I could use a little less stress. Humans also carry these bacteria in their guts. In one study, he and his colleagues collected gut bacteria from a strain of mice prone to anxious behavior. Those poor little mousies, they scare them to death. And take poop samples and then transplanted these microbes into another strain. And we saw exactly what happened. And this is the study we read about yesterday. They had an effect on both anxiety and depression in the animals. In a 2010 paper published in Neuroscience, John Crayon gave mice either bifidobacterium or the antidepressant Lexapro. I thought we saw, I don't know if I ever covered it. Maybe we'll have to go back and look. If I don't get to it today, I'll see if I can find it tomorrow. But I thought I posted a story a month or so ago about Lexapro and drugs just like that, the way they work on the body, that when they did, I don't know if they did genetic testing, they must have, or some blood draws or something, this drug in just one dose caused major, I thought it was DNA changes to the body. Don't let me forget that. I want to look up Lexapro because I am pretty certain that there was a headline story about that. And there's a lot of stuff that that drug does that people had no idea about and they're just discovering now. But I mean, every other day we find out, oh, something they've been giving us for 20 years has been poisoning us slowly. And surprise. Anyway, so he gave them either bifidobacterium or Lexapro and then subjected those poor little mousies to stressful situations, including a test in which they measure how long they continue to swim in a tank of water with no way out. Oh, my God, poor mousie. Oh, phew, it says in parentheses, they were pulled out after a short period of time before they drowned. I hope they gave them, like, mouth-to-mouth and aspirated the water out of their lungs. Poor little mice. Mice are really cute. I mean, they're not cute when they're in your shed eating all your shit over the winter, but they sure are cute just when you look at them. My dad said he had a little mouse when he was a kid and he used to sit in his pocket. I think he'd be cute. Not with all the cats in my house, he wouldn't. He'd be lunch, but I'd like to have a pet mousie. Anyway, the microbe and the drug were both effective at increasing the animal's perseverance and reducing levels to hormones linked to stress. Another experiment, this time using the lactobacillus, had similar results. And Crayon is launching a study with humans now using measurements other than forced swim tests to gauge the subject's response. Yeah, maybe they'll do electroshock. Anyway, so far, the most microbiome-based brain research has been in mice, but there have already been a few studies involving humans. Last year, Collins transferred gut bacteria from anxious humans into germ-free mice, and the animals have been raised very carefully so their guts contained no bacteria at all. After the transplant, these animals also behaved more anxiously. I'd like some information on what happens to the animals when they are bred very carefully, germ-free, and allowed to live throughout their life. What kinds of issues do you run into? Do you end up with learning issues, disabilities? Do you end up with, you know, I mean, that would lead to like autoimmune diseases and cancers. I don't know. I mean, I would be very interested in seeing a study on animals that were raised with no bacteria at all. Other research has examined entire humans, not just their bugs, in a paper published in the May 2015 issue of Psychopharmacology by Oxford University neurologist Phil Burnett, looked at whether a prebiotic, which is a group of carbohydrates that provide sustenance for gut bacteria, affected stress levels among a group of 45 healthy volunteers. Some subjects were fed 5.5 grams of a powdered carbohydrate known as galactoligosaccharide, or GOS, while others were given a placebo. Previous studies in mice by the same scientists had shown that this carb fostered growth of lactobacillus and bifidobacteria, and the mice with these microbes had increased levels of neurotransmitters that affected anxiety, including one called brain-derived neurotrophic factor. In this experiment, subjects who ingested the GOS showed lower levels of a key stress hormone, cortisol, in a test involving a series of words flashed quickly on a screen. You know, what's very, 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 very interesting about this is I couldn't remember what it was called yesterday. It's called adrenal fatigue chronic fatigue syndrome. Were those two things I couldn't remember that I suffered from way back when this first started. And this is exactly what it is. You know, the chronic fatigue syndrome comes from your body not processing your nutrients properly and not passing those nutrients through the small intestine into the bloodstream properly. But then as you have stress as a factor, it starts to affect your hormones, and cortisol is that stress hormone. See, I have that type A personality. I fight it. But I'm wondering now if my type A personality wasn't caused by the fact that I didn't have a decent growth of lactobacillus or bifidobacteria in my gut. You know, they fed me all those antibiotics. I always had anxiety and stress. That's just the way my life was lived. It was always my job, my home, everything. But what that did was it pushed me into adrenal fatigue. Being on edge, fight or flight, all the time, and having cortisol pumping through your veins causes your system to fry. And then you go into adrenal fatigue. And then you're then it takes a long time to get yourself fixed. And I always blame that on leaky gut. And look, I think that's part of the puzzle. So, well, maybe what we need to do, all of us, is get ourselves some doses of lactobacillus and bifidobacteria. Whether or not you do some yogurt, though I worry about yogurt, make sure there's no growth hormones or radioactivity or, I don't know, what else do they put in there? Milk grosses me out. It's got that cancer virus in it that's been in there forever, the bovine, I don't remember what it was called, bovine something. We did a whole show or two on that as well. You know, or get yourself a supplement. They even sell the lactobacillus and the bifidobacteria in little capsules. I do mine in the Super Greens. But I'm sure that there's lots of natural sources as well. Maybe by the end of the week, we'll look that up. I'll find out what else has those in it, because I think we should be consuming a lot of those. Help keep us calm, unstressed, and healthy. Anyway, so they fed these mice the lactobacillus and the bifidobacteria. We found out that levels of cortisol were way down, and the test is often used to measure levels of anxiety and depression. And since in these conditions, anxious and depressed patients often focus inordinately on threatening or negative stimuli. Perhaps the most well-known study was done by Mayer at UCLA. He recruited 25 subjects, all healthy women, for 4 weeks. 12 of them ate cups of commercially available yogurt twice a day, while the rest didn't. Yogurt is a probiotic, meaning it contains live bacteria, and in this case, strains of four species: Bifidobacterium, Streptococcus, Lactobacillus, and Lactococcus. I didn't know about that. Why would we be consuming Streptococcus? Like, Streptococcus, that's one of those bacteria that I've also struggled with from my teenage years, and it was why antibiotics were involved. I used to get strep infections a lot, strep throat, when I was a teenager. And I would never take my antibiotics properly. They would give me amoxicillin and I'd take half of them. And, I was an obnoxious teenager. And, I got really sick one time. I'm trying to think if it was before college. I think it was. This was actually pre all of my health issues, but I had already had the streptococcal thing going on and not taking my antibiotics. But I got really sick. And I mean, like every gland was swollen on my body. I remember them dragging me for blood tests. I had my arm over a neck on each side being dragged into the blood draw place because I couldn't walk. I couldn't move. My fever was high. And they ended up telling me I had mononucleosis. Years later. Yeah, it was before college because then I went for my college physical and they told me that, when I had my blood work done for college, that it shows that I never had mono. So that diagnosis of mono back then was a mystery because I never had it. And as I started doing research after years of being ill, I ran across something called rheumatic fever. And rheumatic fever causes leaky heart valves. And it can cause autoimmune problems and all kinds of other issues. And it's caused by improperly treated strep throat infections. And I had that little heart murmur back in those days, and I had all the issues. I really think that we are going to find out that bacteria is the core root to all. And I mean, I can see it now just from my own health and all the work that I've done to try and get myself back to where I'm a functional human being. I'm better than I was before, and understanding what I can and can't do, and what I can and can't eat, and what I can and can't experience. And I've come to the same conclusion as the scientists. So, bravo! Before and after the study, the subjects were given brain scans to gauge the responses to a series of images of facial expressions, happiness, sadness, anger, and so on. And this is after eating the yogurt. And to Mayer's surprise, the results published in a 2013 Journal of Gastroenterology showed significant differences between the two groups of people, the women who ate the yogurt versus the women who did not eat the yogurt. The yogurt eaters reacted more calmly to the images than did the control group, and the contrast was very clear, says Meyer. It is absolutely not what we expected that eating yogurt twice a day for a few weeks could do something to your brain. He thinks the bacteria in the yogurt changed the makeup of the subject's gut microbes, and that led to the production of compounds that modified the brain chemistry. I'm thinking here, after Fukushima, we used to do yogurt here every day, and we stopped because I really got worried about where the milk was coming from, especially if they were from cows in California. I didn't want to be eating glowing bacteria and glowing yogurt, but I'm almost thinking that I might have to start getting some yogurt again because this whole household could use some of this. It's not yet clear how the microbiome alters the brain. Well, we've done some of that research, right? That whole vagus nerve has something to do with it, I'm certain. Most researchers agree that microbes probably influence the brain via multiple mechanisms. And yeah, there's also this whole chemical thing. A lot of the bacteria produce chemicals themselves, as well as neurotransmitters. And we heard about dopamine yesterday. And here we go. Scientists have found that gut bacteria produce neurotransmitters such as serotonin, dopamine, ding ding, and GABA, all of which play key roles in moods. Many antidepressants increase levels of these very same compounds. Certain organisms also affect how people metabolize these compounds, right? So that's the whole digestive process. Effectively regulating the amount that circulates in the blood and the brain and gut bacteria may also generate other neuroactive chemicals, including one called butyrate, that have been linked to reduced anxiety and depression. Cryon and others have also shown that some microbes can activate the vagus nerve. There we go. Ding, ding, ding. The main line of communication between the gut and the brain. And so we dug way into that quite a while ago. It's extremely interesting, and it made me really worried when DARPA started digging into it with that ElectRx program. That is a direct puppeteering tool that they can utilize. And the in addition, the microbiome is intertwined with the immune system as well, which also influences mood and behavior. As scientists learn more about the gut-brain microbial network, Cryon thinks that it could be hacked. And this is where we're going to lead now for the next round of stories here. It could be hacked to treat psychiatric disorders. Good old Tommy Insel, former director of the National Institute of Mental Health, is now working for Google Life Sciences in their Verily division. And they want to find out ways not only to treat but to diagnose mental disorders. And they want to be able to diagnose mental disorders with a smart app. And don't forget, once they diagnose you with a mental disorder, they can treat you. And eventually, the treatment might be for your own good, to keep the healthcare costs down or keep others safe from you. And God forbid, if you have a mental disorder, you cannot own a gun per the Constitution. Just makes me worry that all these dotted lines and these discoveries are going to be utilized to take some of us out, put us out of commission, get us out of the way and shut us up. You know, they can make you more docile versus being courageous. Well, you know, the people who are standing up, speaking their minds, the people who aren't cowering in the corner from what's being done to us are the ones that are courageous. So all we got to do is, you know, do the quick willy slip in the drink with a roofie of bifidobacteria. And lactobacillus, no, actually, that makes you better. So the anti-versions of those are the killers. And then we'll become little cowering mousies in a corner who won't speak up about anything. I mean, I could see how this could work to their benefit. These bacteria could eventually be used the way we now use Prozac or Valium, he says, because these microbes have eons of experience modifying our brains. And we also talked about the toxoplasmosis, right? And there's definite proof that these microbes are manipulating and controlling our brain chemicals and have a direct influence on personalities and health. And they are likely to be more precise and subtle than current pharmacological approaches, which means that there could be way fewer side effects. I think that these microbes will have a real effect on how we treat these disorders. And this could be a whole new way to modulate brain function. Ding, 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 da-da-ding. Modulating brain function. Yeah, modulating brain function is something that the powers that be would love to do. All of us resistant consumers who won't go along with the program. And, you know, I don't know if we're going to get here today because I don't want to get too off topic, but talking about resistant consumers who won't go along with the program, I saw one of the most insane stories yesterday. Maybe we'll save it for the end, about Donald Trump and people who support Donald Trump. Newsweek is trying to tell us that the people that support Donald Trump because they're anti-technology. They hate Silicon Valley, and they don't want to go along with millions of losing their jobs and universal basic income. No lie. I'm absolutely serious. So because we don't want to move into the 21st century, we want to be Luddites, we're going to support the quote-unquote old way of doing things with Donald Trump. Now, maybe to some extent, you know, Trump's talking about keeping jobs and little bit of, you know, locking the store up so we're not giving it all away. But on the other hand, I never saw anybody running around saying death to Silicon Valley. Of course, they're saying that they are lower educated, lower income people that just don't get it, that support Donald Trump. And I mean, I have lots of issues with Trump, honestly, and he absolutely is a narcissist that has all the issues that we've talked about. Runaway screaming, but narcissists can be nice people too. At times, they're just very unpredictable. And don't ever bet the store on them. Don't depend on them for anything. And that's what worries me. Narcissists are unpredictable, and you cannot depend on them for anything because they will disappoint you every single time. All right, so I don't know. Maybe we'll get to this. Sir, I just had to laugh because they mentioned universal basic income and the robots coming to take all of our jobs. And anyone who's against that must be for Trump. I was like, what a twisted bit of logic that was. Anyway, here's a story out of MIT News. Reprogramming gut bacteria as living therapeutics. Daily doses of synthetic biotics developed by a startup called Synalogic may sense and treat metabolic diseases. So we've already, now, we just dipped a toe in being able to understand the connection between disease and bacterial cultures that live in our body. And we have a company called Synalogic, a brand new startup invested in by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, is going to develop synthetic biotics that can go in and sense as well as treat your metabolic disease. So this is like the biological version of nanobots. This is just too scary. An MIT spin-out called Synlogic. Oh, so they spelled it. They spelled it Synlogic up top. They spelled it Synlogic down on the bottom. Is S-Y-N. Synlogic. Is aimed at creating a new class of medicines by reprogramming bacteria found in the gut as living therapeutics. Based on research by its co-founders, MIT professors Tim Liu and Jim Collins, Synlogic creates so-called synthetic biotics, which sense and correct metabolic abnormalities that underlie some major diseases and rare genetic disorders. Human intestines are filled with trillions of bacteria, collectively called the microbiota, that carry out vital health functions. And Synlogic synthetic biotics that come as capsules, liquid suspensions, or other dosage forms that can be taken regularly augment the microbiota with new metabolic capabilities or complement lost functionality in organs such as the liver. Over the past decade or so, the intricate connection between microbes in our bodies has become clearer and clearer. And it is well known now that bacteria live in our gut and they have a major influence on human health, says Liu, an associate professor of electrical engineering and computer science and of biological engineering and head of MIT's synthetic biology group, who serves as the scientific advisor for Synlogic. Did you catch that? He's a professor of electrical engineering, computer science, biological engineering. See, that's where my root of things would have gone, and I see the definite connection, as well as MIT's head of synthetic biology group and a scientific advisor for Synlogic, working with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. We leverage that interface as a way of treating human disease. Last month, Synlogic raised an additional $40 million in venture capital and secured its first industry partnership with pharmaceutical giant AbbVie. For the partnership, Synlogic will collaborate with AbbVie to develop synthetic biotics for the potential treatment of inflammatory bowel disease. That was one of IBS that Dr. Perlmutter talked about yesterday as well, that LPS lipase that was flowing in the bloodstream, they found a high incidence of that when you had inflammatory bowel disease as well. And it may include probiotic microbes programmed. And we talked about them programming bacteria a while back. Put on a seatbelt, people, because they have been able You know, we were worried about nanobot, robot, little mini nanotechnology bots. But they've now, with CRISPR and some of these other programming languages, they now have programming for living cells. They have been working. Remember, the Department of Energy released that synthetic biology report to Congress back in 2013, and they've been talking about using microbes as well as bacteria to be the manufacturing facility for developing different chemicals and things of that nature, or also using them to eat up things like oil spills. And I just had a story about that. They've been digging now into that bacteria in the BP Gulf spill. And I had read some stuff that we actually put that bacteria there, which I wouldn't doubt it. I think they were doing some experiments with that to eat up all that oil. But they have been programming bacteria to either consume something and then produce a byproduct, which of course is not then called genetically modified because it's not. They program the bacteria to do the conversion or do it the reverse way to have, I'm trying to think now, because they have the bacteria that eats something and produces something else. And then we have a bacteria that can go in and influence its environment without producing anything, but we've programmed it to do certain things. It says potential treatment for inflammatory bowel disease, which may include probiotic microbes programmed to detect intestinal inflammation. So this isn't going to be programmed to produce anything. They are programming it to detect intestinal inflammation and then produce anti-inflammatory molecules or break down the pro-inflammatory effectors. So, guys, this is like nanobots in your blood on steroids and then make it biological to boot. They are programming biological organisms to detect and potentially destroy or detect and potentially create anything that you might need inside of you to cure you. That should be very frightening. There's always a double-edged sword. You know, anything that you're taking, you're going to trust them. Trust them. Trust the narcissists. Trust those with overwhelming desire to manipulate and control things. Trust them to take what they offer you, thinking that it's going to fix you and that it's all for your own good. But hey, they have a direct connect to the brain with this stuff. They can turn you from being aggressive to being a meek little mousy in the corner just by a couple weeks of ingestion, you know, like one course of a prescription for their synthetic probiotics. And bazingo, you have a whole different personality and you have now been neutralized as a threat. I don't know. I just see things coming here that are coming under the guise of a wolf in sheep's clothing. And we've discovered now how to cure all disease. And look at how wonderful it is. And now we have this company that's programming E. coli. And, you know, the programming E. coli, too, is how they've been working now, this new GMO that's circumventing all regulation. And I still don't think we're going to get there, but maybe tomorrow. I'm still working through these stories. But let's continue with this, because then I want to get into this company, Synlogix. Two of Synlogix's major drug candidates expect to enter clinical trials in the next 12 months to treat rare genetic metabolic disorders. And one drug candidate is for treating the urea cycle disorder, or UCD, which is caused by an enzyme deficiency that leads to the toxic buildup of ammonia in the blood. And yeah, that's what gives you gout. The other is for treating phenylketonuria, and that's PKU. And that's a disease that we found out where they were feeding people that adrenal gland from cadavers, remember? What did it do to them? It caused some major... Alzheimer's, I think, is what it did. It caused Swiss cheese brain. And they found out that all those people had been infected with that PKU who died, whose adrenal or pineal gland they had sliced and diced and fed to other people. The others for treating PKU, which involves a dangerous excess of the amino acid phenylalanine due to a mutation in another metabolic enzyme. And that's weird because phenylalanine is actually, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe phenylalanine, isn't it? Or is it? No, it is phenylalanine. The fake sweetener that Dick Cheney's company was responsible for. Not saccharin. The other one. Oh, damn it. It's in all your gum. It's not the new and improved ones, but it's the one that we just had, aspartame. Isn't that PKU? Isn't that phenylalanine? PKU is the disease, but phenylalanine, I think, is the amino acid. I don't know. We'll look it up. It's not important. Ignore that. Anyway, so they're going to treat PKU and UCD. In both cases, Synlogic's drugs process and flush out the toxic metabolites from the body. Think of Synlogic's drugs like biological thermostats. And we ran into that just recently where they had little DNA thermostats they were building. The synthetic biotics detect and regulate the amount of an enzyme or a metabolic byproduct creates in a patient's body. For more than a decade at Boston University and MIT, Collins and Liu have been developing genetic circuits for bacteria, which include on-off switches made with synthetic DNA or RNA sequences that instruct the bacteria to count, store memory, and even perform logic. And there we go, people. MIT, where nanotechnology and Eric Drexler came from, also is where they created biological machines out of bacteria. Collins and Liu have used these genetic circuits to program bacteria to seek and cure infection. And in 2011, this approach earned Collins funding from where? Oh, ding, 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 ding. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to engineer bacteria to detect cholera and produce targeted antimicrobial peptides to treat it. A few years ago, Liu and Collins, along with several other venture capitalists, launched Synlogic to focus on commercializing a new class of therapeutic drugs based on living cells. And in 2014, Synlogic came out of stealth mode, securing $30 million in funding from venture firms and the Gates Foundation. And they also, when I went into the board of directors, and they list all the people, there's this one woman at the bottom, Charlotte Hubbard, PhD, observer, with these real shifty eyes. And guess where she is from? The Bill Melinda Gates Foundation, as an observer. So I'm sure she's running back, giving them all the updates on how many bazillions of dollars this new technology is going to make. Since then, Synlogic has worked on primarily programming E. coli Nestle, a strain of bacteria derived from the gut that is used widely and safely as a probiotic. The programmed E. coli Nestle, Liu says, provides greater precision, safety, and efficacy for disease treatment compared with traditional methods. And for inflammatory bowel diseases such as Crohn's and ulcerative colitis, for example, current treatments include small molecule drugs or antibodies with anti-inflammatory properties. You know, just when I think about all this and the damage to the gut and all these other diseases, it so makes sense. But guess where the destruction of our gut bacteria is coming from? It's not just from the antibiotics. It's from the Roundup that is hosed all over our food and all over our environment. It kills all of the beneficial bacteria in our gut. All right, I'm not going to read any more about Synlogic. They do local programming of the microbiome using synthetic biology, and it enables a therapeutic impact throughout the body. If you want to read about them, SynlogicsTX.com, SynlogicsTX.com. And if you go into the investor section, you'll see good old Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, as well as Deerfield and a bunch of others. All right, the gut brain axis the missing link in depression. The gut microbiota is essential to human health and the immune system and plays a major role in the bidirectional communication between the gut and the brain. And based on evidence, the gut microbiota is associated with metabolic disorders such as obesity, which we found out is also contagious, potentially diabetes mellitus, and neuropsychiatric disorders such as schizophrenia, autistic disorder, anxiety disorder, and major depressive disorders. So I'm going to tell you, they now are coming out with all kinds of pre-crime tools. Right at the end of the show, we looked at a story, new mental health assessment tool expedites patients' crime risk evaluation. But they're coming out with these tools after they decide that mental illness occurs on a spectrum and that all of us have a little bit of mental illness. And I would kind of concur with that. I think we all have our issues and we learn to control them in our own way. 10 staggering stats. This is out of Arianna Huffington's Huffington Post, but this is what they're selling the masses. 10 staggering stats that prove mental illness affects everyone. What comes to mind when you think of mental illness? Well, mental health condition isn't a singular problem that one person experiences. A loss in earnings due to a mental disorder can impact a spouse. Death by suicide related to mental illness can devastate a family. Mental health disorders have a ripple effect on individuals and their loved ones, coworkers, and even an entire community when you have a lunatic running around with guns. You know, guys, this is really a scary place. This is like dystopian novels. They're going to be looking at all of us with our behavioral analytics that they're also working on, finding out ways to treat us with bacteria, to change our mental state, to fix us in their image. Yet many people still stereotype a mental illness diagnosis. Research shows that stigma exists around mental health disorders, and it can have a negative impact on everyone. But as a way to kick off Mental Health Month, we've rounded up a few numbers to show you that mental health isn't a personal issue. It's a global issue, guys. It's a global issue. And in the name of global health, we need to find out how to control mental illness that affects everyone. It affects you and me. And those people are dangerous. Those people cause issues. And this is frightening. And I mean, I'm not saying if you seriously have some sort of chemical imbalance, you definitely, I mean, especially if you're self-destructing, I mean, you need to go get help. I would say after reading all what we've read over the last few days, I would say start with some yogurt. It might be as simple as 2 yogurt tubes a day to help get you back on track again. Percentage of people in the United States in the past year who had a diagnosable mental illness, or approximately 1 in 5 individuals in the United States, the disability adjusted life years ranking of daily of major depressive disorders, the score accounts for years lost due to premature death as well as years lost due to disability, according to the National Institute of Mental Health. Yeah, good old Tommy Insel's old stomping grounds. $193 billion is the estimated total amount that serious mental illness costs America in lost earnings per year, and that includes schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. And 10 is the ranking of suicide-caused deaths in the United States. Suicide rate has increased by 24% over the last 15 years. And what I find very interesting is over the last 15 to 20 years, they've been screwing around with our food and spraying glyphosate. Dr. Huber's forte and understanding all over our crops that then kills all the beneficial bacteria in the soil and in the plants. And then we eat it. And we've seen a 24% increase in people with mental health disorders that then committed suicide in that same time period. $2.5 trillion globally is the estimate that mental health and mental illness costs us in just 2010, according to information presented by health economists at the Davos World Economic Forum. Yes, and Billy Gates probably was at that one. This means that mental health issues were one of the largest economic costs when it came to health care, even more than diabetes, respiratory diseases, and cancers combined, says the National Institute of Mental Health. And they estimate that that figure will rise to $6 trillion by 2030 globally. So all the more reason to target mental health and being able to control it. And 75 is the percentage of people with mental illness who feel like others are not caring or sympathetic when it comes to the condition, according to the CDC. So since 75% of the people don't care, we're going to take it upon ourselves to use these poor people as guinea pigs. We found that connection between the gut and the brain, and now we're going to manipulate it and make them good little citizens. New mental health assessment tool expedites patients' crime risk evaluation. Washington State University researchers have developed a new assessment tool to gauge the risk that someone with a mental illness will commit a crime in the future. It could also speed up long-delayed competency evaluations for people awaiting trial. Writing in a recent edition of the International Journal of Offender Therapy and Comparative Criminology, Kirill and co-author Zachary Hamilton note a growing need to evaluate patients based on their risk to others and themselves before assigning them to inpatient care or outpatient treatment. If it is looking like someone is at an exceptionally high risk of committing a violent crime, the process should be expedited so the patient can receive an evaluation and be hospitalized. And treated. Maybe with electroshock therapy. It doesn't say that, but you know, there's all kinds of crazy things that they do once they commit you. It's called a 5-point harness. All right, guys. Well, if you can even believe it, there's a 4 hours. We're going to have to pick up there tomorrow. Make sure you stick around as Lonnie Clark is live up next. All kinds of great radio. Josh live at 6, 8, the boys from New York, 9, Liam Schaff at 11, Antimedia. Have an awesome Wednesday. I'll catch up with you tomorrow. Everybody take care.